Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We share the word of God this Sunday. Pastor Jacob is not here. He was not feeling well. We were with him yesterday. And please pray for him. He has root canal. And tomorrow he has to see a doctor. And the Lord would completely heal him and take also the pain. He's feeling really severe pain around this area, so please keep him on your prayers. So let us pray for him, and also would like to share the word of God this morning. So, hallelujah. We invite the Holy Spirit, the healing power of God. The Bible says God is alive. He's a living God. So not only he's a living God, the Bible says he's a working God. Hallelujah. So he does some things on our behalf when we pray. So we believe that this morning. So that is why we come together this Sunday. So Father, we come to you in your presence, Father. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. For you are awesome, God. Hallelujah. From one generation to other. Hallelujah. Your name is magnified. Your name is glorified. You are an awesome God. The Bible says that he is awesome than those who surround him. You are different. You are different, our God. You are a working God. You are a living God. You are magnificent. There is no human word to express you. Father, you are here this morning. Father, we give ourselves, our mind, our heart to you, our Father. Trustworthy God. Trustworthy God. Trustworthy God. Hallelujah. Our healer and our redeemer. Hallelujah. Our salvation. Oh, Father, the word says, you are the Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Hallelujah. There is no end to your government. That's why you reign today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole world looks to you, our Father, for answers about our life. Father, we bring our dear Pastor Jacob, to you this morning, Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we do not know what caused this problem, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask for you to heal him and cover him with the blood of Jesus. Cover him with the blood of Jesus. Father, he is feeling the pain, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, take away this pain, Father. Protect his mind, protect his spirit, even as he lays down today and rest. Father, encourage his heart. Father, speak to his heart. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for giving and bringing us this family of God that to lead us to the next step, to the next, from one glory to another. Father, we have received him with open arms and with open hearts. Father, continue to nurture them. Continue to nurture us through your word, Father, through this family. And we thank you for all they have been doing and they have done and continue to through you, Father. Thank you for this morning. And Father, we ask, Father, for you to pour your word in us. Father, the Bible says in 1 Peter that we were born again from imperishable seed. That seed has to be watered. That seed has to be grown. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, pour that heavenly water onto us this morning. Father, grow us. Father, nurture us. Let us mature in you. Let us walk in you. Father, through your word, there is a healing. Hallelujah. There is discomfort for those who are grieving, for those who are sorrow, those who lost their family members. There is healing in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we seek you, and we receive that healing in the name of Jesus this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, heal us, Father. Strengthen us. Refresh us. We ask all these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, what I would like us to talk about and share is the Word of God comes from the Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. That is a leading word, but we'll be going to different areas. Usually, I like to tell stories and communicate through the Word of God from the narratives, but this time we're going to go in many places, but we'll be talking about the same thing we are emphasizing over and over. You know, I used to work in manufacturing. So when we in manufacturing, there is a lot of problems, as you know. You know, these clothes are manufactured. Everything you see is manufactured. In some or in one way or another, somebody put a process to build some product. So in that product, there is an input, we call it. The raw materials can be an input, information can be an input. Then there is process. We do something to it. We call it, in other words, we put value to it. Then it comes out on the other end. Either it comes out through oven or a machine, a different machine. Then it becomes an end product. So when we do that, there are lots of problems. Sometimes you get materials, bad materials from outside. Sometimes the process we have is not tweaked. It is not right temperature, or the pressure is off. Then the output becomes different. So there is a great study and interest to really understand how we can control this. We are always battling, finding methodologies. We have a methodology called Six Sigma, Five Whys. We have different kinds of tools to really find out the problem. Today, I want us to consider those methodologies. It's called the Five Whys and One Edge. So, we use these problems, we solve all our problems. We use these methodologies and we solve all our problems. So consider it done today. Your problems are solved. Having said that, the W's, the five W's, they contain who and what and when, where, why. In the five, the sixth one is how. How. So, don't forget those five and the sixth one, how. Today we are talking about how. How does God speak to you? That is what we want to find out. How does he speak to you? What does the scripture say about how does God speak to you? In the first place, does God speak to you? It's very important that we answer to these questions, yes. Does God speak to you? Yes. Hallelujah. That is good to know. Yes, God speaks. Very rarely, two, three places In the time of Judges, I see that there was a time, actually, it doesn't say God did not speak. It says God's voice was very rare. But when I continue to reading, it shows me the human flaw. So I was wondering where people are not listening or God was not speaking. So I'm not sure about that. There was a time God did not speak and people were really following their heart. And it's very, very dangerous when God is silent. You don't want God to be silent. You want God to speak to you in every matter. You know, my bestest solution is going to the Father. Sometimes without knowing even, I struggle over and over, thinking, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, come to me. And I go and trusting him, Father, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I am so confused. I don't know how I'm going to face this challenge, Father, but I trust you. I lean on you. I trust you. You are the everlasting Father. He is omnipotent, omnipresence, all-knowing God. He is from one end to another. The Bible says he's an Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning to the end. There is nothing beyond his power, nor his understanding. Nothing beyond that. This is the God we serve. Hallelujah. This is the God we serve. This is the God I say, he is my God. Hallelujah. There is no other confidence in the whole world wide that we know of better than this. God is trustworthy God. My brothers and sisters, I want you to get encouraged. Whatever problems you have in life, of course, we all have problems. Why? Because we live in this fallen world. So in the world out there, people do not know God. They say, God does not speak. Where is he anyway? And they are trying to find out what the purpose of life is. What is the universe? What is the earth and the sky, and all the stars up there, what is the meaning and purpose of that? But God says, he is the creator of the heavens and earth. There is no one in the 14 billion people lived on this earth, 7 billion now, 7 billion already died, but nobody came out and said, yes, I created the heavens and earth. Nobody. But our God did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With that, I would like us to go to the book of Hebrew. It says this, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4. It says, long ago, it is referring to time. It says, long ago, at many times, it refers to generations. There are one generation, another generation, it says. And many ways, different methodologies, in different ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, hallelujah, whom he appointed the heirs of all things, through whom also, he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for his sins, for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Hallelujah. Now what he is saying is, throughout generations, God spoke in different things. Well, we're going to go there and check out what God did, how God spoke to people throughout those generations. Well, if we go to creation, God spoke actually to Adam and Eve in voice. In voice, God spoke to Adam and Eve. He gives them instructions. More than that, he gives them also all the creations. For our sake, we go there and let us read a few places there. Genesis chapter 1, it says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man on his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. There are four instructions. Four instructions. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply. Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the earth, of all the earth. Now, the point is that everything, it says everything created by the Lord, and he specifically gave instructions. Specifically, if somebody is giving you an instruction, that means he has an authority. Somebody is somehow in your work, anywhere, if somebody is giving you something to do, he has an authority. Not only that, he showed him everything. Everything. He says, be fruitful. Well, the question is how? God provided the house. So when he says subdue it, how? God provided that. So we are created separately. We are not animals. We are from the animal kingdom, but we are humans because we are created different. We are created in the image of God and by the hand of God. Also, the Bible says God made, took the dust and made the flesh and body, the body we have here. And also, God breathed the breath of God in us. And the Bible says we became a living being. That means that we have the conscious and the spirit of the living God in us, that we became a living being. So that's why we think different. We think different. We respond different. We learn different. We perceive different. God made us so different so we can worship him, we can commune with him, we can understand him and rule over his kingdom. Hallelujah. Rule over his kingdom. But the problem was, as you know, there was deception from the enemy and sin became alive. It was dead. Sin was dead and sin became alive. Then things changed. In Genesis, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were hiding. And you see fear, blame, and uncertainty, hiding, these kind of things which we don't even enjoy today. Who enjoys fear? Nobody. People are struggling to come out of fear. Actually, some people go further, taking drugs or alcohol or anything to really control that fear. They are trying to stay away. So the essence is not actually, they are not trying to hurt themselves. They are trying to stay away from this fear or this uncertainty or things they are struggling with. So we sympathize with them. And God sympathizes with them. My brothers and sisters, God speaks. The Bible says, the Lord came and in evening time, it says, and he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Oh, that voice, it is ringing even today. I don't know how and why some of you came to this church this morning, but I can assure you it is not by accident. God is still calling today. God is still calling today. He has spoken for generations. There is another verse in Genesis. You can read Genesis 37. God spoke to Joseph. God speaks in Hebrew. We read in Hebrew 1 from 1 to 4. We read God speaks in many ways. So there are many ways God speaks. In one way or another, God speaks. God speaks in dreams. God speaks in visions. God speaks in many, many ways. God speaks in the creation. God speaks in the beautiful creation of us. We are created beautifully, beautifully. So God speaks. And in Exodus, there are prophets, there are people who have spoken with God face to face. And one of them is Moses. Let's go to Exodus 3, 1 to 6. Let's see what, how. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father. Verse 1. The flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire. Out of the midst of the bush, he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this thing, this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So we see that God in voice communicated. Actually, Moses takes it further. He says he was so fascinated by God. He was so amazed and overwhelmed by God in his presence, living in his presence. And how God thinks, he was so puzzled and he had many questions. But he took it further. In Exodus 33, we read that. Exodus 33, it shows us how Moses wanted even to see God. Exodus 33, and verse 18, it says, Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness, God is speaking here. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom
I will be gracious and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So people wondered to see God again. People really wanted to see God. Moses was wondering. He wanted to see God. So he asked God, show me your glory. So God says, this interpretation has it that God was hiding him in the cracked rock. It's a beautiful concept that, as you know, Jesus is our rock. Hallelujah. Jesus is our rock, and through him, we can only see God. So the interpretation of the scripture, some interpreters that he was hiding him in Christ so that he will not die, because nobody can see God. God is so holy. God is pure. God is righteous. We cannot see him. Because of sin, we were separated from him. But through Christ Jesus, we could be able to see God. That is what we're going to be getting into. Hallelujah. How about nature? What does it speak to you in every day? Even snow. The snow speaks amazingly, right? The scientists say every drop of the snow, we call it flakes, right? Flakes, right? Flakes. Each one of them are different. Every one of them. Can you imagine? They are countless. If you go to YouTube and read about the universe and the stars, the moon, as I was sharing with you before, when I was in elementary school, I was told that there are only 9 planets. Actually, originally, we were told that everything rotates around the Earth, right? Then they said, no, that was not true. There is a bigger planet, which is the sun, and everything rotates around the sun. Because of the greater gravity, everything is maintained there. Now, actually, they are saying, oh, it's not just the sun. There are 100 billions of times bigger. There is no actually word in the vocabulary to explain how big it is. You know? Big, bigger, biggest, right? Even that does not explain. They had to create a different vocabulary to explain how big this is. Okay? The light speed. The light speed is so fast that we counted in years per second. So that is a challenge of human beings. And they are saying, here is the amazing part, because they saw it to the distance, they are describing things as in, you know, what we can see means there are things which they are not seeing. There is beyond that. Actually, it is an infinity. Hallelujah. According to the scriptures, it is not something we can really go and see the end. There are beautiful things God kept in heaven. When we go there, when heaven comes to earth, then we could be able to understand and comprehend in our mind, because we are limited. Because of sin, we are limited. We can't comprehend that now. So through creation, God speaks in many ways. Young guys, I want to challenge you. This is what we should be excited and fascinated about.
These are the things we should debate in the theological seminaries, in the law school, and defend God. And defend, he doesn't need a defender. God defends himself. But what a pleasure, what an honor to represent God, saying, I am a Christian. Yes, God exists. Yes, God speaks. Our God is not dead, he is alive. Our God is not silent, he's working. Hallelujah. He's a problem-solving God. What is your problem this morning, my brothers and sisters? What are the challenges you are going through? What is God is saying, and how is he saying it to you? Here are the good news. You know, it would have been so difficult if the conversation was one way. But in God's kingdom, actually in Isaiah, God says to the people of Israel, he says, come, come, let us reason together. Hallelujah. What kind of God we have? Hallelujah. He's so pure. He's so holy. He's so big. He's enormously big. But yet, he says, come. Do you have a problem this morning? God says, come, let us reason. Are you disappointed in life? God says, come, let us reason, let us talk, let us dialogue. Take your case to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Are you sick? Take it to him. Talk to him. God responds, I am a witness. God responds. God talks. If it was not, I would not have said that. He constantly, the Bible says, he dialogues. He continuously guides. He continuously leads. There is not abrupt situation. One time you find him, another time he's not there. You know, in our spouses, we want to communicate. I'm a communicator by nature. I really want to talk. And sometimes I get in trouble because I really want to talk, right? You know, please don't call me. I'm busy right now. But God is constantly there. That is what a man like myself is, rest assured. God is going to be there. God is going to be there. Of course, there are times I have a hard time hearing him. I have a hard time feeling him. But rest assured, my brothers and sisters, God functions in his promise. And he's present at all times. Hallelujah. Are you looking for comfort? Are you looking to solve your problems? Go to God. The rest of the matter is a very difficult in life. You know, if you try to solve in some other ways, you get stranded. But your primary resource has to be to go to him. Go to him. Talk to him. The Bible says in Matthew 28, you who are weary and burdened, come to me. I will give you rest. Are you anxious about something this morning? Are you grieving? Are you troubled? You don't know what you're going to be presenting Monday morning in the meeting? Go to God. I say, Father, I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes with that assurance, see, God doesn't want us to really cling on the thing. He wants us to cling on him. So sometimes he doesn't really tell me what he's going to do when I go there. That is called faith, believing in him. So, but I go there. But somehow I come out of it very strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you in your life today. Whatever difficulty you are going through, go to God. You may not have one-to-one, oh, this is how you do it. Turn left, turn right. This is how you exit. You know, he may not tell you the whole detail. I can assure you, he knows the detail, but he's not willing sometimes to tell you the detail. But when you go there on the battle, God is present. And God is on you, through you. He works. He is at work. He is a living God. I love to stress this. I love to rest on this idea of God is at work. He is a working God. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged on the word of God. On the word of God. So we are looking at how does God speak to you? As I said that he speaks through scriptures. Well, Jesus himself referred about this. So it's very important. As earlier I mentioned, that we were born again. You know, if you have bees or peas in springtime, I like to plants on my apartment, on the balcony. And it is a fascinating time for me to look how they germinate. The seeds, I put them in the soil and I water them. And I study how they grow. It is the most fascinating. This dead seed, is that how we say it? Seed. I have to make you laugh a little bit. Yesterday, I went to Costco, and a young lady was walking by, and I was looking because I went to Brighton Costco, so I didn't know where the bread is. So I say to the young girl, saying, hey, where is the bread station? How do you say bread? Bread, right? I said, bread. She says, what? What did you say? Bread. She could not be able to understand me. We stood there just looking at each other for a few minutes. I said, finally, I have to break the silence, right? I said, you know bread to eat? Bread, flour, bread? She says, oh, yeah, I do. I believe this body, because you hear me often, you understand exactly what I mean. Mark says no. Well, I will continue to improve. God is good, right? Our knowledge or understanding is not closed, an open book, because we have eternity to grow, eternity to learn, even about God, his characters, who he is to us personally. It's not a closed book. It is not a closed book. It is an open book for us continuously to learn. Continuously, he admonishes from one glory to another, level of understanding, from one level of understanding. With this attitude, we grasp. The last 2 years, I grasped, actually, I could say truly and correctly, the last 24 years I walked with the Lord, knew the Lord personally, but the last 2 years, what I have grasped, compared with the last 24 years, the last 2 years is much bigger. It's just simply paid attention to it. So there is a room for us to grow, the room for us to change, and the room for us to develop through the Word of God. My brothers, let's go to Psalms 19. God speaks in another way, this way, 19, verse 1, it says this. This is David, the Psalm of David. The heavens declares the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor their word, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. I was telling you, on springtime, I plant tomatoes and, you know, other fruit and vegetables. And sometimes, because of my fascination, as soon as the sun comes out, the plants are closed. Because of winter, the plants stay inside until it gets warm. So as soon as they see the sun, they crack open and they grow and they tilt towards the sun. Wherever the sun is, they tilt. And what I do is, for my own fascination, I turn them around from the sun. And guess what? In few minutes, they are back looking for the sun. Hallelujah. This morning, the Lord was speaking that to my heart. That is how our life should be. Hallelujah. Consider the sun, the Word of God. Of course, Jesus is the light of the world, the light of our life. Hallelujah. Somehow, if we are turning the opposite side, we have to turn back. And isn't that amazing? All the prophets, when they respond, they said, "Here I am." Isn't that amazing? They said, "Here I am." That is how they respond to God. Hallelujah. With that spirit, we search, seek to know, to get to know the Word of God. What he is thinking today. What does he have for our life today? Some of us are concerned because we are aging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be concerned. Don't be concerned. The living God, you are not separated from him. Don't be concerned. Time is not over in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time is not over in his kingdom. Hallelujah. He is a living God from absent from this body will be present instantly in the presence of the living God. Therefore, take courage and be confident that you are kept in him. Hallelujah. He is the shepherd of your life. There is no gap nor suffering when you are walking, when you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For those who believe that when the body separates from the soul, actually, I will share with you later on sometime. But I want to say there are two kinds of days, right? The scripture talks about two kinds of days. The first day is actually the separation of the soul from the body. That is the first day. There is another day, the scripture says, and has the lake of fire is, going to the lake of fire is another day. That is an eternal separation from God. This one is just the body is separating The soul is separating from the body. That's all to it. That's all to it. For those who are in Christ Jesus, when that happens, we are just going into his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be assured. This is what the Lord gave me, and I shared recently. I lost my brother-in-law, and at the funeral, they asked me to share the word of God, and this is what the Lord whispered in my heart. But I want to share with you the magnitude of that, how confident we should be, how confidently. This is a very difficult thing. You'll never get used to it. You'll never get used to it. I lost my mom. I lost my dad. I lost family members, but you will never get used to it. Every time somebody dies, it's a new thing that you mourn. But we do not mourn as those who do not know God. We mourn as those who are confident in Christ Jesus. Be encouraged. So David understood this. He says, all this creation from one end of the earth to another, everywhere, he says. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about nature, the plants, the trees, everything in it, the birds, all things around the world, everywhere they are, they speak loud. He says they are not saying anything though. He says, so metaphorically, as in simile, something which we cannot see, he brings out to express how those plants are being communicating, those animals are communicating to whole earth that the living God exists. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about choice, right? You know, choice is great. And God gave us a will. I am a firm believer, and there are choice. But I believe also there are limited choices. I did not choose to be born in Ethiopia. Did you? No, you didn't. You did not choose to be born in your family. Which family are you going to be coming from? You did not choose. There are certain things God chose or assigned for us. Actually, the Bible clearly states that God chose actually where we should live. Maybe our impact, maybe the purpose he has for us. Even when we change, that is God's will goes with us. And so there are things which we choose, there are things which we do not choose. Now, if we go to John chapter 1, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, from 1 to 13, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God,
who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Hallelujah. So this affirms that we were born through the word of God. We were born again through the word of God. Just like I was telling you, that seed, I am putting it in the soil and it grows. The dead seed becomes alive. But guess what? I had to pour water, pour fertilizer to grow it. So similar to that, that is true in our life. So if we are not pouring the word in our life, drinking from his spirit, we are not growing. So that is a challenge I am sharing with you this morning. God, in Hebrew, the word of God spoke that in later time, God spoke through his son. The son, John says, right, it's in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 13, it says that word is a living God. So we see clearly there is a connection. Another thing is, we are not believing in myth. Some kind of hypothetical thing. Actually, in all the things science have achieved, I personally believe for the guy who came from Africa, from a little village, didn't have electricity to learn, didn't ever seen a library, even me, I am fascinated by the word of God and how it encompasses everything, how powerful it is, how convincing it is. The science does not explain much. The science is good. Actually, the science, we want the science to explain about the things which we can't see. It explains it, and very good. The science looks at the things in a micron level. The science looks at things in a farther distance. The science looks at the things which are very big for us to comprehend. The science points out exactly in proximity to Earth where we are, the GPS, right? Thank God about GPS. You know, I went to Canada. I was driving in Canada, 1,000 miles, and for work. So I went, fantastic, no problem. I had GPS, actually. For that matter, I have two of them. You know, one my personal, in case the other one fails, right? So as we were driving in Quebec, things have changed. Those are French territory. So guess what? The GPS dropped immediately. And all the signs are in French. I don't read French. I was troubled, but I thank God, because once it was absent, I couldn't be able to access the GPS. Guess what? I was able to appreciate the GPS because I didn't have it there. You can go anywhere, everywhere. So we are grateful to the science. We are grateful to the science. I personally believe as long as science does not brings things contrary to the word of God, we welcome science to explain things. But our God is an awesome God, my brothers and sisters. It is beyond science can explain. Our God is powerful. So let's go to Psalm. Now we say, okay, we need to understand. We need to speak to God, and God has to speak to us so we can perceive it and understand him. Now the question is, why? As I said, those are the whys, the five why and how. We looked at the how, and now we want to look at the why, and we will finish. Let's go to Psalm 1. What is the benefit of knowing God? What is the benefit of understanding the Word of God? What is the benefit of, do we really need to understand the Word of God every day? Because when I ask, you know, those the five whys and hows, you know, and when I ask when and where, when do I need to learn about the God's Word? Actually, the Bible says every time, all the time, day and night, continuously, without ceasing, that we need to nurture the Word of God, seek the Word of God, excited about the Word of God, learn about the Word of God. What does it mean? Why is it saying what it's saying? It seems like it's contrary to what it's saying on the other places. How can I reconcile? Those kind of things are very important. But the Bible clearly answers, when shall I learn the Word of God? When shall I perceive the Word of God to my heart? It says all the time, day and night, without stopping. And where? Well, in my heart and also everywhere. Everywhere I have to seek if God is speaking through His Word and through His Spirit. So through His Scriptures, we see that. Because of time, I'm going to go ahead. One time I would like to read and John chapter 16. Please go to John chapter 16, verse 12. John chapter 16, verse 12. It says this, I still have many things, this is the Lord, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. So it's a very, very important. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15, it says, the Lord said to the disciples that I can't tell you everything because it's very hard for you to receive it and conceive, takes the idea. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, because He will be with you for eternity, you will be learning throughout time. As the more you want to learn from Him, He's going to teach you more, to teach you more. You're going to go deeper with Him, deeper, deeper, and deeper. So that is what He's referring to. And another key element here, He will teach you about the future. Very important. This is what the science and the world is really, really working very hard to know. They want to know about the future. But the Scripture tells us about the future. Hallelujah. That's why we have hope and faith in God. Because we know. But the Scripture at the same time, because we are in flesh and blood, we know in limited ways. In limited ways. One place I will read then why. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Most of the things I read from the Scriptures, David seems to come in the top, that a person who really understood God. And not only understood God, he seeks God. He seeks God continuously. He has a human flow, but at the same time, he continuously seeks God. He wants us to know God. So he says in Psalm 1, from 1 to 3, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. So it says that means no time gap, and here is the result, it says. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its season. Now this is time, and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Hallelujah. This is a promise we have, my brothers and sisters. When we go after God, when we seek him, guys, when we seek him day and night, that God pours his spirit in us and he rejuvenates us. We are becoming renewed every day. So the fruit comes in season, but it says the leaves will not dry. This is metaphorically, it is just saying us that he refreshes us. He keeps us alive. See, when you see the leaf, if it is dry, that means either season is changing or the tree itself is dying. But the Bible says it will not wither. It will keep it fresh. My brothers and sisters, there is absolutely no challenge in life. Nothing I want to know better than knowing the living God. We cannot do it. It is not just a textbook. It is not about chemistry. It is not about physics, nor about the archaeology or different science. It's got to be understood through the Spirit of the living God. We have to humble ourselves. That's why Jesus pointed them that when the Spirit comes, he will lead you to all truths. He will lead you to all truths. It's a continuous journey. You see the fruit. You see the change in your life. I cannot agree with the scoffers. I cannot. There are something in me says no. Absolutely, I know about that. I cannot agree. There is God, and he is a living God. He is at work. We should not fear anything. Anything. Of course, we are humans. We have that limitation. But according to the word of God, that's why we have to dare. We can bet on him. We can trust him. We can lean on him. Hallelujah. Only one place, then we will transit to the communion. Hallelujah. Psalm 25. Quickly, we look at Psalm 25. It says, verse 4, it says, Psalm 25, verse 4. Actually, from verse 1, if we start, this is David also. He says, to you, O Lord, he says, I lift up my soul. This is just a desperation. He says, I lift up my soul. He says, O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. He's referring the opposite of righteousness. Make me to know your ways. Now, consider this. Make me to know your ways. Here is the benefit of being walking with God, knowing God, continuously reading, continuously speaking to him, continuously dialoguing with him. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, in 1 Peter, the scripture says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we were reborn again from the seed which is not perishable, imperishable seed which lives forever. This seed, when we put it in the soil, when we nurture it, it will grow. It will become a tree. It will have fruits and shade. Even other people could be able to come and eat from that fruit. Means the grace which is given to each one of us that can be used by others. That is what it is, the scripture is referring to. My brothers and sisters, we all have problems, but I am determined and persuaded that there is a better way. That is the living God who bore us again, who delivered us from sin and eternal punishment and brought us to his kingdom. May praise be to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. We will be ready in a minute. The Apostle Paul, he writes these from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 about the communion. Blood and the bread that we share this morning. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, was the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's days until he comes." Hallelujah. Can we pray together? Hallelujah. Father, we looked at your word. Holy Spirit, we hear you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the word you have poured in us today. This morning. Father, thank you for the living word. The Bible says in John chapter 15, 5, you can do nothing apart from me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Father, thank you for encouraging the body of Christ this morning. Through your word, we are encouraged. Through your word, we are nurtured. Those who mourn, be comforted. Father, thank you for our brother, Pastor Jacob. Again, we ask, Father, for your providence and for your healing trust in him this morning. As we take communion, Father, this is a church. You say, this is my church. Father, continue to speak to us. Continue to bring us to the center. Continue to teach us how to love, how to get connected through your word and through your spirit. Father, give us a heart which forgives. Give us a heart which overlooks offense. Heal us, Lord. Father, we ask, equip us through your word and your spirit so we can challenge ourselves and protect our mind and heart from the enemy, the rumors of the enemy. What is out there, Father? What is in the world? Unite us in your spirit, Father. For this very purpose you came. Unite us. You broke the wall between us and God and between each other. Father, help us to acquire that, inquire that. Take us, help us to make that our own. Help us to grow through your word. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, we have the communion table everywhere. Please come forward.